Welcome to XY Files podcast. I'm Vladimir Kotlov, MD, the founder of Vidma. With a medical background in urology and deep expertise in male hormone optimization and fertility. This is episode 15 of 18 in our low testosterone series. Last time we covered functional versus organic hypogonadism, is your low T reversible? Today we're getting into alternatives to TRT that preserve fertility. Last episode was really about sorting the map before you start driving. Is the problem structural, meaning the testes or pituitary are actually damaged? Or is the axis being suppressed by something reversible like obesity, metabolic disease, medications, or chronic illness? That distinction matters because treatment is not just about getting a testosterone number higher. It is about choosing a path that matches the biology. And this is where a lot of men get pushed in the wrong direction. They have symptoms, they get one total testosterone result, someone says low T, and suddenly the conversation is about testosterone injections. Meanwhile, nobody asked whether fertility matters, nobody checked LH and FSH, and nobody figured out whether the testes can still respond. In clinic, that is the mistake I see almost every week. If you remember one idea from today, make it this one. The important question is not just whether testosterone is low, it is whether the axis is still intact. A guy in his late 30s came in not long ago, tired, foggy, gaining abdominal fat, workouts going nowhere. Pretty classic story. He also said, almost as an afterthought, "We might want kids in a year or two." That sentence changes the whole conversation. Because if you start standard TRT without thinking it through, you can absolutely make him feel better hormonally while making fertility harder. Not because TRT is evil, it is not. It is because exogenous testosterone tells the brain, "We have enough on board, you can stop sending signals now." Those signals are LH and FSH. LH tells the testes to make testosterone. FSH supports sperm production. Give testosterone from outside the body, and the pituitary usually turns LH and FSH down. Intratesticular testosterone falls. Sperm production drops. The testes often get quieter and smaller over time. The Endocrine Society guideline is very clear that testosterone therapy is contraindicated in men planning fertility treatment. That part is not controversial. It is just physiology. When I was a resident, I used to think the fertility talk belonged later, maybe once a couple was actively trying. I was wrong. The fertility conversation starts before treatment, not after the prescription is written. Now, before we even talk about alternatives, the diagnosis still has to be real. Male hypogonadism is a clinical syndrome. It is not a lab number floating in space. You need persistent symptoms and biochemical evidence. Not one without the other. At Vidma, we use practical decision thresholds of total testosterone below 350 nanograms per deciliter or free testosterone below 100 picograms per milliliter when symptoms persist. And those labs need to be done the right way. Morning draw, 7 to 11. Total testosterone by LC-MS-MS. Free testosterone measured directly by equilibrium dialysis with LC-MS-MS. That matters because a lot of routine immunoassays can miss the picture, especially with free testosterone. And LH and FSH must be checked at the same time, always. Without them, you cannot tell primary from secondary hypogonadism, and without that distinction, you cannot choose treatment intelligently. High LH with low testosterone means primary hypogonadism. The brain is yelling, the testes are not answering. That man usually needs TRT. Low or inappropriately normal LH with low testosterone means secondary or functional hypogonadism. The testes may still be capable of responding. That is where enclomiphene becomes so useful, especially when LH is below 8 milli international units per milliliter. I say inappropriately normal a lot in clinic, because it confuses people at first. They hear normal LH and assume nothing is wrong with the signaling. But if testosterone is clearly low, LH should be trying harder. A normal LH in that setting can actually be abnormal behavior. It is like a thermostat that stays calm while the room gets colder. This is one reason we prioritize free testosterone. A man can have a total testosterone that does not look dramatic, but his free testosterone is low enough to explain the symptoms. I see that pattern in men who have fatigue, low libido, worse recovery, maybe some brain fog, and they have been told, "Your total is okay." Sometimes it is not okay, or more accurately, it is incomplete. We do not order SHBG as a separate test because when free testosterone is measured directly with equilibrium dialysis and LC-MS-MS, you do not need to guess it from a calculation. So where does enclomiphene fit? Enclomiphene is first line for secondary and functional hypogonadism when LH is low or inappropriately normal, especially below 8. Mechanistically, it blocks estrogen receptors at the hypothalamus. That reduces estrogen-mediated negative feedback, increases GnRH output, raises LH and FSH, and tells the testes to produce testosterone naturally. Same axis, same wiring. You are restoring the signal rather than replacing the output from outside. That sounds a little abstract until you see it clinically. The man who is suppressed from obesity, metabolic dysfunction, poor sleep, or certain medications often does not need his testes bypassed. He needs the signaling pathway nudged back online. Enclomiphene does that while usually preserving spermatogenesis and testicular size. It works with the body's own regulation, which is why the hematocrit issue tends to be less of a problem than it is with TRT. Not impossible to affect labs, of course, but generally lower risk because the testosterone rise is physiologic rather than forced. There was a 2014 trial in BJU International that compared enclomiphene with topical testosterone in men with secondary hypogonadism. Serum testosterone increased in both groups, but sperm counts were preserved with enclomiphene and dropped with testosterone. That is the clinical fork in the road right there. Same goal, very different trade-off. A lot of men are not trying to conceive right now, and that is exactly why they underestimate this decision. If you are 33 and say, "Kids are not on the calendar for a few years," fertility still matters. Future fertility is still fertility. The body does not care whether your timeline is romantic or vague. Enclomiphene has another practical advantage. In functional hypogonadism, the problem may be reversible. If the man loses weight, improves metabolic health, adjusts a suppressive medication, or treats a contributing condition, sometimes the axis can recover enough that treatment may later be reduced or stopped. Not always, but it is possible. That is very different from putting someone on a path where the normal signaling gets suppressed from day one. Now, I do not want this to sound like TRT is some kind of villain. It is not. TRT has an important place. For primary hypogonadism, where LH is high and testosterone is low, enclomiphene will not fix a testis that cannot respond. Pressing harder on the gas pedal does not help if the engine is gone. And for some men with secondary hypogonadism, enclomiphene is not enough, or not tolerated, or not appropriate for other reasons. TRT is reserved for primary hypogonadism, or for secondary hypogonadism that does not respond to enclomiphene. The cardiovascular fear around TRT also needs a little adult supervision. The TRAVERSE trial, published in the New England Journal of Medicine, followed 5,246 men for a mean of 33 months and found TRT was non-inferior to placebo for major cardiovascular events in appropriately selected hypogonadal men. That was useful because it pushed back on a lot of old noise. But it did not change the fertility problem. It also did not turn testosterone into a diabetes treatment, and it did not remove the need to monitor hematocrit. Elevated hematocrit remains the adverse effect I worry about most with TRT. At VIDMA, we do not prescribe testosterone injections or other TRT products. Our role is different. We focus on the men who are candidates for fertility-preserving treatment with a thorough diagnostic workup and individualized enclomiphene-based care when appropriate. That difference matters because it keeps the conversation anchored to diagnosis instead of defaulting to replacement. There are other fertility-preserving options, and they are worth understanding. The classic one is gonadotropin therapy with HCG, often combined with FSH when immediate paternity is the goal. HCG mimics LH at the testis and drives intratesticular testosterone production. Typical HCG dosing is 1,000 to 2,000 international units 3 times weekly. If the goal is conception now, not someday, HCG is often combined with FSH at 75 to 150 international units 3 times weekly, because combined therapy generally produces better fertility outcomes than HCG alone. That is supported in infertility guidance from urology and reproductive medicine groups. It works. It is also more work. You are talking about injections, semen analysis, a more fertility-centered protocol, and usually closer follow-up. For the man who wants to conceive as soon as possible, that can be exactly the right move. For the man who wants symptom relief, wants to preserve fertility, but does not need immediate conception support, enclomiphene is often the better fit because it is oral, it preserves the axis, and it is simpler to manage. Every few months I meet a patient who comes in expecting HCG because he heard it on a forum or from a friend at the gym. Usually what he actually wants is not immediate fertility treatment. He wants more energy, better libido, better training response, and he does not want to shut fertility down. Those are not the same clinical scenario, and they should not get the same protocol. Aromatase inhibitors come up too. In selected men, especially with obesity and higher aromatase activity, they can increase gonadotropin signaling by lowering estradiol conversion. The European Association of Urology guidance treats them as a niche option, not a preferred first-line therapy, because the evidence is weaker and long-term estrogen suppression can hurt bone health. In plain English, this is not where I start. Then there is lifestyle. Important, necessary, and often oversimplified. Functional hypogonadism is the most common real-world pattern I see. The axis is intact, but it is being suppressed by obesity, insulin resistance, sleep disruption, medications, systemic illness, sometimes a combination of all of them. Lifestyle treatment absolutely matters. Weight loss can improve testosterone. Physical activity helps. Medication review matters. Treating metabolic disease matters. Fixing sleep matters. If opioids, anabolic steroids, finasteride, or other suppressive drugs are part of the picture, that needs attention too. When prolactin is high, or thyroid dysfunction is present, or iron overload is driving the problem, you treat the cause. But I also think men deserve honesty here. Weight loss alone usually raises testosterone by only about 1 to 2 nanomoles per liter, and long-term maintenance is hard. Most lost weight comes back. The data on weight regain are not gentle. Depending on the study, 60 to 86% of lost weight is regained within 3 years. So when a symptomatic man is told, "Just lose weight and come back later," I understand why that advice often goes nowhere. Low testosterone makes lifestyle change harder at the exact moment you are asking for better energy, better recovery, and more consistency. A car analogy helps. If the tires are low and the alignment is off, you still need to drive carefully. But it is much easier to keep the car on the road once the alignment is fixed. Hormonal support can make the lifestyle plan more achievable. There was a trial called T4DM that looked at testosterone plus a structured lifestyle program in men with impaired glucose regulation and low testosterone. The takeaway was not give everyone testosterone. It was that men often do better when the hormonal deficit is addressed instead of pretending lifestyle happens in a vacuum. In a man with secondary or functional hypogonadism, the logical version of that strategy is enclomiphene plus lifestyle modification. You support the axis, keep fertility in play, and give the patient a fair chance to actually follow through. Then we get to supplements, which is where the internet begins to perspire. Correcting a real deficiency is sensible medicine. Zinc deficiency should be corrected. Vitamin D deficiency should be corrected. Magnesium deficiency should be corrected. Men often feel better overall when deficiencies are addressed. That does not mean supplements are treatment for clinical hypogonadism. It means normal physiology works better when you stop starving it of basic ingredients.
The testosterone booster market is a different animal. Usually underregulated, often underwhelming, occasionally contaminated, and almost always overconfident. If a bottle has a wolf on the label and promises to fix endocrine physiology, I would remain calm. Very calm. Natural treatment, when that phrase actually means something useful, is sleep optimization, body weight reduction, medication review, treatment of comorbidities, and correction of true deficiencies, not wishful thinking in capsule form. A few common questions come up over and over. A lot of guys hear, "My testosterone is low," and think any testosterone treatment is basically the same. It is not. TRT replaces testosterone from the outside and suppresses LH and FSH. And clomiphene stimulates your own LH and FSH signaling. Same general destination, different road, different consequences for fertility and testicular function. Another common misunderstanding is that enclomiphene works for every man with low T. It does not. If LH is high and testosterone is low, that is primary hypogonadism. The testes are not responding. In that scenario, enclomiphene is the wrong tool. This is why I keep coming back to LH and FSH. They are not optional add-ons. They are the decision makers. There is also the myth that fertility only matters if you are actively trying this month. I would challenge that. Many men do not know their future plans with total certainty. Life changes. Relationships change. Priorities change. Fertility preservation is easier to respect on the front end than to repair later. Another mistake I see is men focusing on total testosterone while ignoring free testosterone. They say, "My total is 410, so I guess I'm fine." Maybe, maybe not. If symptoms are persistent and free testosterone is low on a properly measured morning test, you may still have hidden testosterone deficiency. That is exactly why we measure free testosterone directly with equilibrium dialysis and LC-MS/MS rather than trying to infer everything from total testosterone and a calculated estimate. And one more. Men assume normal labs means no further workup is needed, even when symptoms are real. But not all normal ranges are clinically useful. If your testosterone is low, LH is normal, and nobody checked FSH, prolactin, estradiol, CBC, comprehensive metabolic panel, vitamin D, or the other pieces that complete the picture, then the workup is not actually complete. It is just unfinished in a confident font. So what should you actually do with all of this? First, if you have persistent symptoms, get tested correctly. Morning draw, 7 to 11. Total testosterone by LC-MS/MS. Free testosterone by equilibrium dialysis with LC-MS/MS. LH and FSH at the same time. Not later, not maybe, not if convenient. Second, interpret the results as a syndrome, not a scoreboard. Symptoms plus biochemical evidence. At VIDMA, we use total testosterone below 350 nanograms per deciliter or free testosterone below 100 picograms per milliliter as practical treatment thresholds when symptoms persist. Third, decide whether the pattern is primary, secondary, or functional. High LH plus low testosterone points to primary hypogonadism, where TRT may be necessary. Low or normal LH plus low testosterone points to secondary or functional hypogonadism, where enclomiphene is often first line, especially when LH is below 8. Fourth, say the fertility part out loud before treatment starts. Even if children are only a future possibility, especially then. And if you do start treatment, monitor it like an adult. At Viedma, our men's health panel includes total testosterone, free testosterone, LH, FSH, estradiol, CBC, comprehensive metabolic panel, vitamin D, PSA for men 40 and older, and insulin when BMI is above 25. When clinically indicated, we add prolactin, TSH, and a lipid panel. We repeat labs after the first month of treatment, then every 6 months. We can also review existing labs, including uploads from Function Health, if you already have testing. That is the real advantage of doing this carefully, not a louder sales pitch, just better decisions. Next time, we'll get into testosterone replacement therapy formulations, dosing, and what to expect. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. If you've been feeling low energy or brain fog, poor sleep, low mood or motivation, weaker workouts or recovery, reduced libido or sexual performance, or unwanted body composition changes, and that sounds like you, upload your labs to Viedma for free or order labs through our special offer at viedma.com.